Well, this story moving all the time. Of course, we've got that petition online going on right now. Let me give you an update how fast that's moving. We're on 1,151,000 signatures so far. Let's get some reaction from our US correspondent, Simon Marks, as well. Simon, you've been a busy man over the weekend, I guess.
Very busy weekend indeed, Andre. The sun is just beginning to come up here in Washington, D.C., which means that we are all braced for a Donald Trump tweet storm. Who knows what will come down that particular social media platform over the next few minutes or hours. But, you know, the president wakes up in that White House pretty beleaguered this morning. Talk, certainly, on the New York Times front page of this being a crisis. The New York Times, of course, no Donald Trump fan, but I think the sense of crisis here has developed partly because of Republican criticism of what Donald Trump has done. We now know that there are 39 Republicans in the U.S. Senate, and there's a total of only 52 of them. So 39 of the 52 Republicans in the U.S. Senate now say that they either oppose Donald Trump's ban or have serious reservations about it. That's a lot of support to hemorrhage in 10 days of a presidency.
Well, as you've been talking about, civil liberty groups are vowing to overturn it legally. Let's hear, there's been protests around the world. Let's hear from these people in Washington, D.C.
The people that we are denying access to are the most vulnerable people in our world. So I'm here because this is something that I can do on my own to voice my concern for those people.
Just completely at a loss for words of how this even happened. Personally, I thought that this was going to happen if he got elected. And now that it's here, like, I don't know. I just don't understand what's happening.
So, Simon, do you think they've got any...
So, we've witnessed...
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I was just going to say, we've witnessed scenes like that at airports all over the country, Andre, and they continue, not least because lawyers that have headed to those airports to try and assist any refugees or visa holders or green card holders who have been detained are facing obstruction, certainly at Dulles Airport, where those interviews were recorded. It's the main international airport serving the Washington, D.C. area. The Customs and Border Patrol, the immigration agents, and their bosses have not been allowing lawyers to speak to any people who may be detained or even have agreed to provide any information about the numbers of people that may still be detained in that immigration holding area. All of this is fueling the legal challenge to what Donald Trump has done. You've seen civil liberties groups launching a series of successful legal challenges over the weekend, at least to secure the temporary rollback of Donald Trump's executive order. 16 states, all of them governed by Democrats, are coming together saying that they plan to fight this legally. Interestingly, the American Civil Liberties Union, the largest civil liberties organization here in the United States, reports that over the weekend it received $19.1 million in public donations. So they're developing quite a war chest to fight all of this. Now, at the White House, they are pretty serene about where things currently stand. A senior administration official last night told reporters that actually the White House believes that the implementation of this plan had been an extraordinary success. Now, why on earth would you say that with protesters marching down Pennsylvania Avenue right outside President Trump's front door? Well, you'd say it because you're not very worried about those protesters or the people gathering at airports all over the country. You're worried about what your own core supporters think about this. And at the White House, they seem pretty confident that this is going down very well among those voters who backed Donald Trump last November and put him in the White House in the first place. They believe that this is a president of the United States who hasn't just made promises to his supporters on the campaign trail, but is actually putting them into practice. And so the protests by people who didn't vote for Donald Trump don't seem overly to trouble the White House.
So I was saying about the petition that's going on in England right now, it's well over the million mark. And Theresa May visited the White House on Friday. Does this protest that we're doing over here make any difference to him at all?
Well, I mean, can you believe it was only Friday when Theresa May bravely became the first foreign leader to cross the threshold of that White House with Donald Trump inside it. I mean, I think we said on numerous occasions last week on LBC London News that there was potential reward associated with Theresa May's visit to Washington, but also massive potential risk given the unpredictable and erratic nature of this president. And it must have been quite some scene on that aeroplane that was carrying Theresa May from Washington, D.C. to her weekend talks with President Erdogan in Ankara when they started learning about the scale of what Donald Trump had done just hours after she left the Oval Office. I mean, the protests in Britain, look, you know, there were petitions before, of course, calling for Donald Trump not to be allowed to enter the United Kingdom, even when he was running for the presidency. Do they make a difference? Well, what was the big takeaway for Donald Trump of Theresa May's visit, a state visit to the UK, the possibility of staying overnight in a real gilded palace, Buckingham Palace, later this year. Is that still a possibility? Is it still viable? Buckingham Palace, remember, back in the 1970s, was thrown open to Nicolae Ceaușescu, the dictator of Romania, who was eventually summarily executed after the revolution there alongside his wife. There have been embarrassing state visits to the UK before, but with that kind of pressure building in a country that he always says he feels connected to. He said it in Friday's news conference. His mother was born in Stornoway, what he refers to as real Scotland. He has often cited her admiration for all things British, particularly the royal family, as something that is close to his heart. And yet, he doesn't look to me like the kind of president of the United States who's going to be particularly fretting in that Oval Office today about the growing number of people who have signed that petition on the other side of the Atlantic.
Absolutely amazing. As much as I like to talk to you, Simon Marks, it looks like it's going to be a daily occurrence that we'll be talking about Donald Trump. And I know there's a countdown to how long he's going to be in power. It could be 8 years, could be 4 years. Absolutely amazing that he's allowed world leaders to be caught with their pants down. Absolutely amazing. Thank you very much for joining us and giving us an update.